Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. This is Earpy Monsters Radio with the Sunday Show. I'm here tonight with Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson. Jack Jodell of the Saturday Afternoon Post online blog, and Wayne Johnson, Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. My name is Gwen Berry, and I kind of produce and sometimes open my big mouth. And I'm starting out this week's show with my big mouth. I had to spend a lot of time kind of convalescing, so I was eating up way too much news, but I saw it when it came over the news wire about a little girl whose name was Jacqueline, 7 years old, who crossed illegally into the country with her father. She and about 160 people along with them, and they turned themselves into the Border Patrol. All of them, at about 10 o'clock on the, the 5th of December or the 6th, within 9 hours because of dehydration and not eating, she developed a fever. She went into fits, and while, nobody for 10 hours checked on her. The thing is that the young lady was Maya. She was, she spoke a language that even people from other little countries around or in areas around in Guatemala don't speak, because the Quiche is all these different languages. And it's hard to understand sometimes. But she died of a neglect. This is a human rights violation, as it is criminal on the part of my government. And that would be the United States government. They cage children and they arrest asylum seekers. Lies are told to subvert an election that give tacit allowance by claiming terrorists are taking the scenic route to enter the U.S. through caravans of people walking to the United States fleeing a terror that is in their midst, that they feel they have to run from. So they head for what used to be called at one time the land of the free. Is not the most powerful man in the world. That's a coinage that's always been associated with the United States president. He is a criminal, a con man, a thief. He's a serial liar, and his family is the most selfish clan to ever gain entry into the American political system. He's a laughingstock and a danger in consideration by most of our allies, or who were our allies, and countries and leadership across the planet. Now 20 million Americans will stand as the next victims of complicit Republicans who've exposed themselves as the greediest, most corrupt, and cheating politicals in the short history of the United States by denying them ACA. The American Health Care Act, Obamacare. As they drive our country environmentally, socially, educationally, technically, fiscally, and industrial into an ash heap, as once we were considered this bright light on the planet, we are now the brightest exposure of what patriarchy has done culturally to the human race on the planet, in my opinion. And karma is a bitch, they say.
Yeah,
well, I'm here to
let's
open
so,
the doors
so.
To the goddess. she must return. Those who are telling themselves right now that there is nothing wrong wanting large wealth, that isolationism is part of protecting them and their family, that us or them is the way of the world, or 100 other platitudes, the greedy, selfish, down deep, no matter the lies they fold around themselves, those who would stand by as a child is caged or abused by an authority figure given the go-ahead by a seriously deluded criminal incompetently driving us into the ground from the White House. These are not nice people. It's a selfishness that completes the moral bankruptcy of America at this moment. Everything begins with an intention. What do you honestly think the intentions are of Trump, Republicans, and all of that ilk in D.C.?
He's deluded, he's cruel, and he's indifferent. And those are terrible attributes.
Most Americans are decent people who want best for themselves and for their families and their communities. The last election made that pretty clear. The only remedy that I can think of as this keeps unfolding is kindness. You have to be kind, yet you can't ignore or stand by when you see this kind of behavior happening in front of you. Bullies have to be addressed. And calling your representatives and senators and letting them know, whether they're the old ones or the new ones, it's extraordinarily important. But the murder of this child by neglect of this White House is an act of human rights atrocity, and it has to be addressed.
Well, they talk about how bad the Nazis were, and they were. But what they've done here is they've mirrored them in many ways. They assigned them numbers. They stenciled them on their arms or whatever the hell they did, and they boarded them on a bus. And while this was happening, this poor little girl lost consciousness. Was basically so thirsty she died, and all the fluids were out of her body, and she vomited, and then. And she was with her father at the time, and he was helpless to do anything, too. It's absolutely disgusting. This is preying on people. This isn't helping people. This is insane, and I'm ashamed to be an American if it's an American under Donald Trump.
Well, I think the majority of people, Jack, feel that way. There's an emotional blanket laying across this country right now. People in deep regret, in deep fear, and in deep depression because of not just Donald Trump, but what the complicit Republicans in this country have allowed and have fostered.
Yeah, Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows are up there too.
Jeez.
Sick birds.
I just couldn't believe it when I saw this. And then to see them marking with a Sharpie pen numbers on the arms of these people, these children, men and women, I was stunned. I thought, you fucking Nazis.
Yeah, it was just like Auschwitz.
Yeah, I was like, be allowed to go on. It can't be allowed to go on.
And they're gonna argue that they were trying to enter the country illegally. I don't give a good goddamn. There's a reason for that. They weren't soldiers. They weren't armed. They weren't here to wreak havoc. They were here for refuge. And there's a big difference between that and a terrorist. They're labeled as terrorists. What a lie.
The majority of the people who have been incarcerated and put into camps, children that have been put into camps, and people who have been incarcerated by this administration have not entered illegally. They crossed at the border. They were seeking asylum.
A 7-year-old girl, honest to God. That son of a bitch sitting in the White House right now eating his eating his banquets and being a big tough guy. He's not a tough guy. He's a wimp. He's a weakling. And his kids are disgusting, too. That bimbo Ivanka and Jared, her husband, all those people, are they're freeloaders is what they are. They're freeloaders.
Well, they're not freeloaders. They're profiteers.
Yeah, exactly.
They're profiteers, and they're corrupt. And they're the most selfish family to ever invest themselves into American politics. And in a short time, at the right timing, I don't deny that all of this corruption and everything that's going on, especially with Republicans, yet again, you know, there hasn't been a real Republican since Ike left office.
That's a good point.
President Company excluded, I exceptionalized. But my point is that it's always been the Republicans that have done the real damage. And the Democrats go in and clean up the mess and build it back up, and then freaking Republic, because we have people are not the same. There are a lot of people who are just they're not well educated. They've lived a hard life. Whatever the reason, they have their angst. And Republicans prey on people's fear, their hatred, their frustrations. That's how they get elected.
Dating back to the days of Richard Nixon, we've had this happen, and that's a real crime.
Fear and loathing. Gonzo was right. Hunter S. Thompson called it out.
The McCarthy era, Barry Goldwater, you know.
Not even Barry Goldwater was that barbaric.
No. That was the beginning of this, you know.
Neocon.
Richard Nixon, Spiro Agnew. Yeah. Very, very horrible names in history.
And it's an extremity that swings both ways. I hear people on the left side of the street who claim they're on that side of the street who are beyond any socialism or Marxism. They're into, let's just kill them all, you know, eat the rich, kill them all. And what kind of authoritarian despotism? You know, the pictures of Mussolini, when they caught up with him in his German uniform, trying to escape from Italy, what they did to him as a fascist bastard is something that people ought to start publishing on, in my opinion, on social networks. Of course, I shouldn't say such things, and it is the season to be kind to one another. And that is my real wish. But
let's see it originate from the White House. It's high time it did there.
Are you kidding me?
That's disgusting.
If he could, he'd cancel Christmas if there was dime in it. If there was a dime in it for him. And this is that time of the year that I put aside to see and enjoy my favorite movie.
Which is?
Well, my hero is a guy named George Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Hooray.
And
absolutely.
Last night, Saturday Night Live, Cold O, was a playoff on It's a Wonderful Life with Trump. And
I missed that.
Baldwin played Trump. And, you know, he wished he had never been president because of all this crap going on. And Clarence comes up. The black guy on the cast played Clarence. He came, okay, well, here's your wish. And he walks into a party, and nobody knows him except the last guy. And the last guy was played by Robert De Niro, and it was Mueller.
Wow.
He said, I know who you are. I got a piece of paper for you. It was, but Trump went kind of wild on Twitter over it. But you figured that out.
It's Saturday Night Live for that broadcast. Like what he's gonna bring? What's he gonna sue him for?
He goes wild over anything. He's a child. I mean, I was surprised to see him, you know, not get up and make some kind of scene during Senior Bush's funeral.
Remember the good old days well before a president could ever begin to tweet anybody about anything, and wasn't addicted to that format. This is Trump is he's insane.
But,
that guy is insane.
But when you use Twitter for the positive, it has huge, huge response. I'll tell you what, because of Twitter and Instagram and a great deal too with Facebook, because of those networks, do you know how many people registered to vote and heard stories from kids at Parkland High and
yep.
listened to? And there's just one other thing, too. I mean, in my community and spiritual and metaphysical community and stuff, there's always a lot of workshops about, you know, prosperity. Well, because people always are looking for money and people, you know, it's just a thing. Not one of my big things, but I do have one of the most, you know, best-selling little money sprays. But I saw on Facebook something that was pretty stunning and pretty cool. It was a meme that was posted, and I think it should be mentioned because it really isn't about the money. That's not what life is about, unfortunately. It's at the bottom of many things. But the author, J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter series and who's writing a lot of great books right now still, she lost her billionaire status this last week. Do you know why?
She donated it.
She donated it to charities across the planet.
Wow.
Billions. Billions. She
That's great.
And Stephen King are some of the richest folks. Well, she was. But she and Stephen King and the King family does the same thing. I think he's still a billionaire. But he gives millions and millions, mostly to schools and libraries, of course. But Rowling, she reaches, wow. I've seen her name connected with so many. She's shored up the princess's, Diana's thing with the landmines, removing the land. I mean, anything. She's a responsible spender. She knows how to spend her money well. I thought that was outstanding to see that. Because that's what it's about. You know, having plenty is good. It's the right thing. But
yeah.
When you share with someone, I mean, don't you feel
that's even better.
Great? Don't you feel great when you're able to help somebody out?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
And they say, thanks. You know, I mean, at a time when they really need it, that's what this season is all about.
It gives people hope. It gives people a reason to go on. And there's nothing more human or better in life than that.
It's pretty much, you know, it's service is what life is about. When I was in college, guys, I took these parapsychology classes that were unaccredited at the time. They call it psi science now. And one of our big projects was I cataloged people's experience with near death. They had clinically died and come back, and I would record their stories of what happened to them when they were. And nearly every one of them came back with awareness of, because that life review you go through is about how you affect others. Only it's not just seeing that, it's being the other person. In other words, you feel everything that person that you helped or hurt, their emotions, how you affected their life. You know?
Yeah.
That's huge. That's the life review we go through. I got to think that people like Hitler or Trump or Mussolini, these people must make a deal, you know, before they come through, knowing that they're going to face that, because it's got to be massive. But a good friend of mine is Danny and Brinkley. He's the guy who wrote the original book about, you know, seeing the light and all of that, and came back for it. He died
right.
clinically from lightning a few times. He is the strongest psychic I've ever been around in my life. And I've been around a few, and most it's hoo-ha, but boy, he really, whew. And he was special ops in the Army. He says, you go through a life review, you come back after that, if you're not changed, you know, you're damned, because you just can't live with yourself. And there were people I cataloged, one man who came back and said, I'm so afraid to die, because his experience was not of the light, it was of all of that hell. And these notions of heaven and hell, you know, all myths have some basis in fact. In this season, at this time, being of service to other people, we've always been, I mean, Jack, isn't this the time your mom brought you up to be kind to people, to take the basket to the old lady who lived down the street, that kind of thing? I mean, weren't we all pretty much raised that way?
Obviously not. I mean, you can't say all, because we have plenty of examples who those who cheering when they think they've removed what was provided as health care to millions of people in our own country, and they're cheering it.
Yeah.
Something messed up and obviously didn't pass on.
Yeah, but I mean, who of us didn't grow up watching It's a Wonderful Life?
Oh, well, no, that's, again, I did, and that's,
Didn't you, Jack?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched that many times.
Oh, Jack, well, wait a minute. You and I were raised Catholic. I mean, we went to midnight mass, or we went to mass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, from the time we were very, very small, our smallest memories have to be our parents telling us not to hoard things and to share with the people around us, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives. Share instead of keep it to yourself. And Trump never learned that. And the current Republican Party, many of them never learned that either.
Exactly, Jack.
It's hard to understand how these, because you can't think all of them didn't have, you know what I'm saying? Not all
of them. No, like anything else, there are varying degrees of it, but we've seen way too much on the side of me first and to hell with you. You know, that's insane. That's not human.
Well, I tell you, there's a guy, I guess he's in, is he in Arizona? Some millionaire who every year takes $1 million or something and gives it out to people in his communities around him for Christmas. You know about the guy I'm talking about. He's always on the news, whatever. This year, he found somebody homeless. And he gave them everything and said, I want you to give it out. That's your job. Well, they did this all, of course, there was no press until after the fact or whatever. But the homeless guy that he gave it in an interview, and he said, it wasn't about the money. It was seeing people saved.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was so much. You know,
the gratitude and the tears of joy. That's what humanity is all about.
Let me share a personal experience, if I may. I was, you know, when I was out there in Columbus, you know, away from my family and stuff, and it was about this time of year, Christmas, I went into the Goodwill store because I furnished my apartment through there and, you know, would buy appliances. But anyway, there was a young girl, probably 13, maybe 14. She was there with her mom, but she had like a few coins of herself. And, you know, I know that she and her mother really didn't have a whole lot, but, you know, she's at the age where she wanted to, you know, start, she was becoming interested in girly stuff, you know, a little bit of jewelry, things like that. and she was looking at something, and she thought she had enough money, but she didn't take into consideration the tax. And so she was there at the counter, and, you know, the disappointment and, you know, kind of a regret on her face that, oh, this is something I can't have because I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. I took out a couple bucks, and I gave it to the cashier because it only was going to be a couple bucks. I said, this young lady has all the money she needs.
How nice of you, Wayne. That's touching. I love it. You're what a guy.
The smile that broke out on her face.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty piece of, it was a necklace or something. It meant
a lot to her.
Exactly right. It might as well have been, the Queen's jewels, right?
Yes.
Well, Jenna, not only to her, but
the cashier too.
I'll tell you, it's all of them together. And shame on me. You're right, Jack. It's not every Republican. I lived and worked in the mountains of North Carolina in the 80s, little paper called the Avery Journal. The wonderful editor there, Bertie Burleson, now runs her own paper called the Avery Post, she does a colloquial column there called It's the Sky That's Worth Getting a Subscription to. And I also worked part-time at a little place. It was like a Kmart, but it was for a little town. It was called Sky City. I worked as a cashier. Now we're talking the top of the mountains, up Grandfather Mountain in Lynnville, North Carolina. The only place to get a drink in the evening was the VFW or the Moose Lodge. The Dry County, all very Republican. But the gals I came to know, and I was in my late 20s, coming on to into my 30s, the gals I knew were all moms. Most of them, just a few years older than me, were even grandmothers. It was really weird. But the thing was that I got to know them. They got to be, of course, my friends, lifelong friends through a lot. And there were families way up in the top of the mountains that would come down about a week before Christmas. Now we're talking dirt poor.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Most of these people made their living making white liquor. You know what I mean, boys?
Sure.
And the women were responsible. You talk about cave dwelling kind of, I mean, lordy. But surprisingly matriarchal with the old women, but they came down into Sky City to buy a few things for the Christmas season, including snow on the ground, gentlemen, including shoes for the kids.
Right.
Well, they were looking out for everybody else. That's civilized.
Well, these folks would come down about three trucks filled with these people. And what we would do, the cashiers had a thing they did, and I got in on it while I was working there. And what we would do is when we got our paychecks, we would go and use our employee discount, buy things we knew that they would want or that the children would want. And we'd put them, because these people didn't take charity. No way.
Right.
But what we would do is put these big bins at the end of our cashiers that had like a nickel, 3 cents, a penny, these going out of production or, you know, clearance sale price tags on them where they could get, you know, a teapot or a blanket or children's clothes or shoes or little toys, you know, were there. And I never in my life. I mean, poor.
Very kids civilized. Very civilized act, Gwen.
Kids with rags wrapped around their feet because they didn't go outside unless they went to town.
Right.
You know, later that night. was with my friend Patsy Trice at the Moose Lodge, 3 sheets into the wind. And she said to me, listen to me, you know, you big time New York Yankee girl.
Yeah.
I, no, she said it lovingly. She said,
yeah,
right.
Yes,
you should know we don't do that so that they'll ever know. If they ever knew, it would be horrible because they would never pick up from it. So we do that because we take care of our own.
Right.
And I never forgot that. And I always remember that's my Christmas story, really, is that.
And, you know, Gwen, that's a perfect illustration of communal living, where people look out for one another and take care of each other's needs instead of their own wants. There's a big difference.
Yeah, well, the people of Avery County, North Carolina, are my heroes in that regard.
Right.
I know a whole bunch of them must have voted for Mr. Trump and have a lot in common with him. But in what he says, I think a lot of them are pretty shocked, too. But
oh, yeah.
These Appalachian folks were kind in a way that no one would ever know about it. You know what I'm saying? They were kind quietly. And it wasn't just that act, but I saw lots of acts that were done that way. And I understand that pridefulness and stuff, their kindness was silent. And that's the most precious kindness I can
see. Yeah, you don't need to be noticed for it. You don't need to be held in huge accolades for what you're doing. It's just part of your civic duty. You're part of being civilized is to just look out for people around you. And I just want to mention a very good organization. It's called Save the Children. And it takes care of kids. You know, as a matter of fact, I've been a member now for about 5 or 6 years. And I'm very proud to say, not I don't do it with pride, but I do it very with happiness, that I am taking care of about a 13-year-old red-haired girl in the mountains of Appalachia. Every month I put in a little money that helps her out. I can't do as much as I'd like to do, but I do what I can every month without fail for the last five or six years now. So, and I'm very happy about it, and it's a great organization, and I wish I had millions of dollars that I could just donate, plop, right in their lap, but I just can't do it. So I just do what I can do every month.
You know, Jack, my mom used to do that. She did Save the Child.
And Save the Children, it's a great organization.
Yeah, Save the Children. Been around for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
And they do pass the muster test on getting the money and the goods and the help to children. I understand because my mom would get letters and pictures and things like that. And when I came home from college, she made me do, you know, like, all right, young lady, sit down. This is get your checkbook out. You know.
Good for your mom.
And she was a Republican.
Yes. So she's a good Republican. We need a lot more like that.
Yeah, well, when after the days gone by, both of my parents were Republican. He's a phys ed teacher, and, of course, a child could not take phys ed unless they had tennis shoes, and it was required that they were taking phys ed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There were kids that were going to that school here locally. I'm out in the rural country area. You know, the parents could not afford them shoes. Dad would buy them at the beginning of the school year new shoes. They could come into his office, get their pair of shoes that he had bought for them, take his dad, put them back on the shelf, and then at the end of the year, then they got to go home. You know, they took them home with them and stuff. A lot of people don't know that. You know, the accolades of see what I'm doing here, see what I'm doing, you know. But see, Dad was a West Virginia coal miner's son, and my grandfather was a union coal miner, so he had something.
Mm-hmm.
But even there in that the Fairmont, West Virginia area, I myself have seen, you know, the company housing, company store, where the company basically economically enslaved workers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made them buy from the company store, and they kept them captive, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. You're always in debt to the store because they always. It wasn't even real money. It was company script.
Yeah.
Pretend,
right.
You know, let's just call it monopoly money. Had the value
right.
of monopoly money, and the only place you could spend it
at
was
the,
in
at
the company
store.
And it was higher price. You know, say a can of peas was 15 cents. You know, well, out in the real world, you know, it might have been, nine.
Mm-hmm.
And so you always had just money to go into debt to feed your family, free rent and stuff. But in other words, Dad saw what true poverty was. I myself, going up to visit my grandparents, you know, saw the other side, the non-union coal mine housing, where that was poverty.
Oh, my.
You know. And again, the brothers, it wasn't until the people created a union and went on strike and demanded to be treated fairly that even those people in West Virginia even got a quality of life.
Yes.
And we need that too now.
Yes,
we
do.
Who of us, I don't know anybody who can't sing Coal Miner's Daughter. I mean, I know every lyric because... Who doesn't know Loretta Lynn's story? But the song,
right,
was, you know, Americana,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people know that even though she's a Republican.
Well, you can bet she's the good
Loretta
kind
Lynn.
Of Republican.
She's still Loretta Lynn. It's and she's still around and she's still singing.
Donna sings a song about her coat of many colors because her mom took every bit of scrap material and sewed it together.
Dolly.
That's
Dolly.
It was, you know, worse than even patch quilting, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
that's Dolly. That was Dolly Parton. That's Dolly.
Well, they're cut from the same cloth. They're cut from the same mold, both of them.
Yes, they are, and they're both very gracious ladies, especially
yes.
Dolly Parton. She's quite a gal.
She's wonderful.
I can't say a thing against her. And I will give her this, too. She's always been openly for giving the LGBTQ blah, 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 community, right, their rights and their
right.
ability
right.
to be together or marry. She has never once been a racist or had
no.
anyone working for her like that. She's always driving in the good lane. It's like she's
good
in,
point. Good way to put it.
She's always in Aretha's pink Cadillac, you know?
You know, she transcended all those trappings that confine so many people needlessly, and she's transcended all of them to her great credit.
Well, not only that, but I give her this, too. She was one of the few people who said, hey, you can't go against the, what are the name of the girls who... They were really good. They sang the song against Bush during the war, the country girls. And
the Dixie Chicks?
And the Dixie Chicks. She stood up for them when nobody else would. Too.
Right, yeah, she was good for that. That's right.
I just nobody can say a bad thing about Dolly Parton. Now, I don't listen to her constantly, but I do listen to her occasionally.
I have a few of her discs, and I like her quite a bit. She's not what I like all the time, but you know what? When I'm in a certain mood, there's nothing more satisfying than hearing Dolly's warm voice coming out with one of those beautiful country ballads that she sings so well.
My go-to country woman is Patsy, honey. When I need country, I go Patsy.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been gone for many years now. She's been gone for more than 50 years, I think.
Well, it's been a while. Matter of
one
fact,
of a kind.
But the light she lit still burns bright because
oh, yes.
there just ain't nothing like Patsy.
Nothing. Didn't she die in a, like a plane crash or something?
She did. She did.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
And she was Loretta Lynn's best friend.
Oh
and
my.
Loretta Lynn's mentor, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the movie Coal Miner's Daughter with Sissy Spacek, and Sissy sang the songs herself.
Yeah, she did a nice job.
She really did. She parodied, she mimicked Loretti real, real well.
Yeah.
But just absolutely great movie. And if I want to feel decent about something, that's the kind of a movie I watch is
you know, it's so appropriate that at this time of year especially that we're talking in this vein, because we're talking about humanity and the needs of people that oftentimes are not met simply due to selfishness, and we're the antidote to that in this show, if not all the time. And I'm very happy to be part of such a group, and hats off to everybody in this group that believes the same way.
Back at you, buddy. You're the producer.
Yeah, you got it, honey. So, Merry Christmas to everybody. And happy holidays, big time. And enjoy yourself and enjoy your community and enjoy your relatives and your friends, because this is the time of year to do that and to do something for them and the people at large instead of just thinking about yourself all the time.
Exactly.
And it's also a good time to remember that while we're seeing all of this horrible stuff going on out of D.C. and such, there's also a lot of good things that are happening. And actually, one of my good friends on Facebook in San Francisco, her name is Maureen Barnato. She occasionally listens in to us. She posted, I posted a meme. You can make your own memes on Facebook now, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I guess this was 3 days ago. I said, you know, it's like George Bailey wasn't born and it's Potter's Town. Hurry up, Clarence, ring some bells. And she posted a little thing that said some of the things that happened this week that we can be really grateful for, and maybe mentioning them is a good thing. Like the Senate voted on Yemen.
Yes,
you know,
that was good.
That was the hotel workers won the Marriott strike. South Carolina teachers are threatening to walk out. Chicago Great. Teachers Union wins the first strike for the charter school teachers.
Great.
Costa Rica is carrying out a decarbonization plan.
Cool.
Federal courts are striking down the Atlantic Coast oil pipeline. Yay. DeVos forced to cancel her $150 million student debt thing.
Yeah, that was really
great.
Yeah, now she's threatening to take away black children's civil rights in school. Federal appeals courts rule against Trump on birth control exemptions.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Majority of Californians support universal health care and free community college, which is wonderful. The country of California is fabulous.
Right.
Right.
And,
I just hope they'll learn to sweep their forests. Insane. How utterly insane.
House Democrats pressured by left to break away from PAYGO, you know, that phony company, to require 2/3 vote to raise taxes. Gathering momentum for a new Green Deal, a Green New Deal. Incredibly youth-led protests all over the world. But a lot of our new reps in Congress that are on their lips constantly. A new deal, new Green Deal, which is beautiful.
That's
awesome. Do anything I can to help it. Representative Neal says he'll hold hearings at House Ways and Means Committee on Medicare for All. Philly passed the Fair Work Week bill for hotel workers. L.A. City Council moves to create new homeless shelters. That's big. Pine Great. Ridge Indian Reservation blocks uranium mining, and I am so
cool.
Thankful. And San Francisco passed a citywide project labor agreement.
Good.
And,
you know, these are
that,
these are wonderful stories.
Mention, that doesn't even mention all the Mueller indictments.
Oh, yeah. These are exciting times we're living through, and it's not all bad news.
No, it is, and it's just that, you know, it, and being an ex-journo, as they say now, if it bleeds, it leads, and boy, is Trump bleeding.
The more he bleeds, the healthier everybody else is.
It's just, there is a lot of different good news on, but I don't know, Jack, maybe you do the same thing. Strikes me that you did. Do you watch your local news?
Oh, I do on occasion, yeah. Mostly I watch the national and international, but I do watch the local. You know, I like to stay aware of things locally and throughout my community and as well as nationally and internationally. I like to be on top of everything. You can't do it on with everything, but you try to do as best as you can.
Well, you know that most people don't, like you and I probably where we go, like you go to the Free Press. I catch Democracy Now. I figure that's my catch up on that side a lot. But I MSNBC it a lot. I might switch over to CNN to see, because they break stories quicker over at CNN sometimes.
They do, yeah.
But and then I'll go back to see if, you know, whoever's caught up. But most people in this country work, they come home, they get their kids fed or the kids to bed or whatever, or as they're sitting down to have dinner or whatever, they'll put on the television, and the news they watch is
Fox
usually
News.
Well, no, basically Hicks. The majority of people are watching ABC, CBS, or
NBC.
They're watching the big NBC, the big networks. And for a long time, those networks didn't have the kind of crash of news that the cable news does,
right?
CNN or Fox or MSNBC. And see, the majority of people, they say the majority of people in the country watch Fox. That's bullshit.
No, that's actual truth, though. That's actual truth of cable viewers,
cable
and satellite viewers.
Yeah.
The majority
but
of them are tuned into Fox, which is a travesty. But it's
but
real.
The majority of people who watch television in this country, they're watching regular network.
Regular news, yeah. Right.
And so I've noticed, because I've been going over there to look at 6:30, what are they saying? And they are putting this country into shock with everything about Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it is
the
really
guy is, he's pulled the wool over too many eyes for too long, and people are starting to wake up and throw it off.
Well, it is certainly hitting the news, and this has been a very hard year.
Oh yeah.
For the world in general, I mean, there haven't been any new big huge wars or anything. It's just been a very hard year. In the news, you've seen it with governments. And even probably in your own personal life, you've known friends or had friends or something in your own life that's been just really a rough row. Not everybody, but many people. And then on top of it, you blanket pall of, and it's not just America. It's going on. There's the yellow vests going on.
In Europe, in
France.
Yeah.
And in Italy, they're in the streets. Britain is all up in arms, and people are pissed as hell over there. Ireland's having its problems again. They're starting to get borderline with North and South over what's going on with Britain. It's Spain. My God, Spain has had a year. I mean, they've had a coup in Spain.
Yeah.
And even in South, it is all over the world. Yugoslavian countries, how do you the people in Ukraine, how do you think they've had to deal this year?
And their story isn't done yet. Putin's up to something. Let's wait and see.
And Crimea got annexed, before Obama, or as Obama was leaving. But
right.
we had an American writer, journalist. He wasn't American, but he wrote for
Khashoggi.
American company.
He lived here in Virginia.
Right. He was by country. He was like bi-coastal. He was
and he's an employee of the Washington Post, for God's sakes.
Yes. And he was murdered by Murder, Inc. over in Saudi Arabia. And how do people forget that bin Laden and that crowd were funded out of Saudi Arabia? I mean,
exactly,
how
do
people forget that stuff, these Republicans?
Well, it's oil. They smear a lot of oil over the whole world. We don't need them anymore. That's the sad thing about it. But Trump treats them as though they're vitally needed and they're vitally necessary, and they're our good allies. This is nonsense.
No. It's all about one thing with this guy. It's about money. It's about the money he's going to make in Moscow, or the money he's going to make in
Riyadh
or wherever.
Yeah.
It's all about this selfishness of money.
Yep.
And you know, the thing is that for years and years, people have realized, I mean, because he's laundered money for close to 30 years for the Russians, he's been able to bail himself out or stiff almost every large business project he's ever been involved in.
Yeah.
He's only holding on through all of his laundering dealing and crooked say every business person in the state of New York and the state of Florida knows that. Well, let's face it,
the Trump Foundation is a criminal enterprise. That's what it is.
Well, Trump International or whatever the family business
all that
is
shit,
called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Southern office of New York prosecution is
Southern District.
I have a tangent family member who came out of that office, and she was on the long list for Mueller's investigators. She's the one who took down AT&T with the warrants and everything. I talk to her occasionally on the back chatter of Instagram or something, but she's like, you know, when it comes down, it's going to fall hard. Mueller is not anybody who leaves anything dangling at all.
No, he's been very thorough and very steady and ongoing, and I applaud him for that. And in the face of all kinds of adversity, he's just plunged right ahead, and good for him. He's a voice of reason in an unreasonable world.
I don't know. I tell you, I got a real kick out. I was a little pissed at first that they would screw with my movie the way they did. But as I watched the video of it from last night's cold open, and Robert De Niro walked out as Mueller, I laughed and I laughed and I laughed because Robert De Niro doesn't like Donald Trump at all.
Oh, no.
None of them do.
Yeah.
Nobody with any character likes him.
Exactly.
Never has.
Well, even his friends at National Enquirer are starting to turn on him now.
Well, no, that's a biggie. I mean, Dad, even fake
turning
news is turning on him. I mean, fake news, real fake news is turning on
him. Right.
What'd you say, Wayne?
I said he's going to be brought down by real fake news. No,
there is justice after all in this world.
Or Elizabeth Taylor negotiated with aliens to have Michael Jackson's baby sent to space, you know?
Statue of Elvis found on Mars.
There you go, right.
Oh, it's nonsense, yeah.
I do have a suggestion for folks who are listening in. If anybody's out there Christmas shopping, one of the best Christmas presents you could get anybody, I am being told, and I think I might be getting one, I hope, but is Michelle Obama's new book, Becoming.
Right.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be inspirational and really well done and lifts you up. It doesn't bring you down. And it tells a lot of truths, truths that people ought to know, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
About how it is to live in the White House and be the First Lady and to be part of that family.
And she has the intellect and the ability to express that intellect that Melania Trump will never have.
Oh, yeah. But that, one of the things about the book is it's one of those books where you sit down and everything is so simply and honestly written.
Right.
A lot like Barack, if you've read his book.
Yeah.
So that's a really great. And also you can go over to daughtersofisis.com. We have some sales running. Fragrant memories of our ancestors. You guys have any favorites you like to give during the holiday season?
Well, I'm just going to urge everybody again, like I do every week, to keep pushing forward. We cannot go backwards any longer. We've been distracted by background nonsense, and that's what it is nonsense. It's lies. It's fake news realized. And it's terrible to be out there, and we have to battle it all the time. So keep pushing forward and don't look backward.
And Joe, let me interject here real quick for the listening audience. This is the value added that this Blog Talk Radio brings. All of us have a lot of research. A lot of us have connections. And if you go to the past podcasts for like the last 2 years,
yes,
you'll hear me say that all three of our intelligence agencies had recordings and knew Trump was dealing with the Russians, committing treasonous acts against our democratic elections, and now you're seeing what we were telling you 2 years ago coming out to be facts and truth.
Yes.
That's the real value added of the Sunday show and Here Be Monsters is listen to us, tune in, tell your friends, because you will get the true facts here.
We're not involved in spin and fiction. We like to talk about the truth and the factual things in life. We don't want to live spin fantasy and lead you down the wrong path. Not that we're the experts on everything, but we do enough research and we do enough due diligence to make sure that what we're talking about we know about, or we just don't say anything.
We're homespun progressive.
Exactly.
Thank you, gentlemen. And
thank you, Gwen, for another year. And we'll talk to you when? In the new year now?
I guess so. So this is our Merry Christmas, Blessed Yule, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. What am I missing?
Happy holidays, everybody. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy your camaraderie with all your friends and relatives and neighbors. And let's make it a better world in 2019.
I was going to say, this is the winter solstice.
Yes. Happy solstice to everybody. And remember that being of service is the greatest gift you can give yourself. So, think about what you can. It's like the man said in the tailcoat that time, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
Well stated, Gwen.
Very true.
All right, good. Have a good one, and blessed to all.
Yes. Same to you, Wayne and Gwen. Have a great holiday season, and we'll talk at you again after the new year.
Merry Christmas, Jack.
Merry Christmas, Gwen. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. That's our show. We'll be back in the new year. Good night.